Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
The swinging sounds of the Mike Jones Humongous Orchestra there tells you that you're about to listen to Penn Jillette on Free FM. That's my name. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, talking to all the rest of you. And we're at 866-313-FREE. That's 3733 are the numbers. We're at pennradio@gmail.com or pennradio.com, PennRadio.com. We're going to have to decide on the Lennon person. This will be the person. Monday night there's going to be a horrendous show, I'm sure, that is going to be bringing bringing the spirit of John Lennon back, ostensibly. They won't be doing it. It's undoubtedly
a scam.
It'll
be a much better show if they do.
Yeah, of course it will. Yeah, if it actually works, we're going to be. But I think that nobody that's listening to this should give their $10 to these guys. They're just clearly crooks. It's not being. It's the Lennon estate has nothing to do with it. There's nothing John Lennon about this at all. It's a spook show. It's a medium show. That's all it is. And but. If you want to know about it, we wanted to get one person in, and we were going to give them a couple dozen donuts, bring them into the studio, send a limo for them, give them $100 to gamble with, tickets to the Penn & Teller show, tickets to the lovely Lance Burton show, and then they would watch the show Monday night, which we would pay for them to watch, and then they would come in Tuesday. We'll do a whole hour talking about the John Lennon show and interview the listener who watched that. That's the deal, and we got a ton of Gmails writing in. I asked for a lot of stuff. I asked for someone who was skeptic and knowledgeable in psychic events, someone who was very knowledgeable in the Beatles, and I was also going, and this would be extra points, for a honky-tonk badonkadonk. we got a lot of flat-ass guys who were asking us about this. But we have one guy picked from San Diego. What's his name? Gordon?
Garrett.
Garrett. I was the same thing. Garrett. That's right. Garrett we picked from San Diego, and he's going to be the winner. He is going to be the winner unless someone calls 866-313-FREE, that's 3733, and tells me why it should not be Garrett. Maybe you know Garrett. Maybe you live in San Diego. Now, Garrett listens delayed, right? Probably?
Probably.
Because in San Diego, we're on at 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So he's not hearing this. So Garrett cannot defend himself.
This is your big chance.
It's your big chance to call up and trash Garrett in San Francisco, in San Diego. I'm sorry. Also, if you think that you'd be a much better choice than Garrett, we somehow overlooked your Gmail. Feel free to call in 866-313-FREE 3733. You've also got another chance to make things okay. The AIDS walk, which is a walk against AIDS. We're not doing a benefit for AIDS. That's the people that don't want condoms given out in third world countries. They are the pro-AIDS movement. They're working with the virus to spread HIV around the world. They're doing a fine job. But our team is trying to help people who are suffering with AIDS. And if you go to AFANLV.org.
Excellent.
First shot through, you got it. AFANLV.org. AFANLV.org. I just found out our OBGYN, my wife's on bed rest, my OBGYN, Dr. Irie, told us last night at the show. He was at the show, so my wife could go to the show because he brought 24 friends that are all high-risk OBGYNs. So it was the safest
recliner night. At the Penn & Teller
last night at the Penn & Teller show was the safest place for a pregnant woman to be, was at our show. And he said she could go to the AIDS walk. So at the AIDS walk on Sunday, what's it, on 3rd Street or something? Something like
yeah,
that.
I don't know exactly
where it starts.
Where, yeah.
Somewhere like that. You'll be able to find out. Just drive downtown and it'll happen. What are you supposed to read your lips? In Las Vegas. Yeah, it's only in Las Vegas. So we can't do too much on this because it's only in Las Vegas.
You could still call in and donate to it.
You certainly can. And if you're part of the Penn & Teller team at AFANLV.org, we give you, like, tickets to the show. Teller did this really fancy magic book, this huge, like, two-volume. It costs, like, $500 or something. It's got a CD in it. It's all about David Abbott. David P. Abbott, I guess, who was this magician at the beginning of the last century, who had like people like Houdini and Dunninger come over to his house. He did parlor tricks. And Teller bought his whole estate, his whole collection, and then put out, I mean, it's really fat books with pictures of Teller. which I don't know what that has to do with David P. Abbott, but it has pictures of Teller, because Teller is certainly not going to write a biography of some goddamn guy and not get his picture in it. So the picture is another guy on the cover.
But Abbott's biographer.
Yeah. There's pictures of Teller. And also, David P. Abbott was a horrible musician. He wrote really bad music. And Teller even got the music that he wrote and had Jonesy, Mike Jones, play some of it. So that you get a CD with it. And Teller, for this AIDS walk, is giving away, like, this book is like, you know, I don't know what the price is, like $1,000. This book is like hugely expensive, really, really fancy, beautiful. And we're giving away my cheesy books, too, but that doesn't matter. My cheesy books are like $20. And we also, of course, when you get there, you get the tickets to the Penn and Teller show, T-shirts. You get to walk with us, which is a mixed blessing. And I think we have Teller's David P. Abbott book, which is beautiful and great. If you have any interest in magic, it's just the hippest thing in the world. You get my cheesy books, a DVD of The Aristocrats, and we all get to have fun with Patrick's wife. She's going to be there. She'll be going without her husband. Patrick is playing softball because
bringing the baby.
That is such a butch thing to do. And my wife will be there. She got permission from Brian. And Moxie's going to be there. Moxie will be there.
Wow.
So I'm going to push Moxie in the stroller for the whole AIDS walk. Baby's first AIDS walk. There's a little thing. You know, in the baby book, you have baby's first AIDS walk. She'll be there. And she'll be there. And one of the reasons we're bringing her is every year. Now, there's thousands of people that go to help people. And I mean all kinds of people go. It's not just gay. It's not just drug users. It's not just atheists. Everybody of all kinds, including Catholics and all these other people, Protestants, Christians, Muslims, everybody shows up. Not many Jews, but still, there are some. And then we have, they have like three protesters who I got to tell you are brave. And they stand there with signs. They're no harm. And one of the problems is finding the protesters want to argue, you know, AIDS is God's will, all this psycho stuff, and, you know, do not be gay, this kind of stuff. And we're always trying to find, out of the thousands of people, somebody with the intellect to argue with the protesters so they can really have an exchange of ideas at their own level. So Moxie is 10 months old, and she'll be handling the entire debate with the anti-AIDS march
we
people.
We can't bring Tarzan?
Yeah, I don't know. She'll be doing that. So come by. And if you want to do the Lennon thing, if you think that you can join, we can get more than one person in the studio. We're going to have Derek. Is that his name, Derek?
No, it's not Derek. It's Garrett.
Garrett, exactly what I said. If we're going to have Garrett, certainly. But if you're in Las Vegas and you think you could also come by the Slammer, it's going to be a party Tuesday morning. Lots of donuts. There'll be gambling money. We'll be hanging out at the Slammer. If you also think you can offer something to the John Lennon thing, if you've got skepticism of spiritualism, if you've got knowledge of the Beatles and John Lennon, and if you've got a honky-tonk badonkadonk, come up. And the Penn and Teller team, I'll be there wearing a Penn and Teller team T-shirt and pushing a stroller with my beautiful little baby girl, Moxie, who'll be there. Still articles all over about how crazy do you have to be to name a kid Moxie.
Rob Morrow named his child Two.
Two?
Two.
T-W-O?
T-U.
T-U. That's a nice
tomorrow.
Name. Oh, I get tomorrow. Did he really?
He really did, apparently.
Oh, that's great.
People
that's great.
That.
I did. I guess this is the biggest production ever. But in another production of The Exonerate. I did several because I'm not a death penalty guy. I'm an anti-death penalty guy, as you know. And we'll get to some of that. We got some letters on that. But I did it with Mia Farrow. I did The Exonerate. And I also did it with Rob Morrow. Rob Morrow was also in it. And I talked to him a little bit. He was in that Northern Exposure thing, right?
Yeah, the one that Provenza killed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rob Morrow left Northern Exposure. And then my partner in The Aristocrats, Paul Provenza, came in and took it right into the toilet.
He also
did that with what, Full House or something? Not Full House. One of those other shows. He's taken over two or three very successful TV shows and taken them right into the dumper. That's one of the things. When you have a show that it's still popular, but you kind of like it off the air, you bring in Provenza.
Tired of the work.
Right down. It just goes right out of there. Last night at the show, besides having a lot of OBGYN, high-risk OBGYNs, we had, I told Mike Jones, who's plays piano in the Ben and Tully Show. I told them that we had a lot of high-risk IBGYNs in the audience, and Mike Jones said, well, what do they do wrong? He thought they were high risk. No, they specialize in high risk pregnancies. We had that. We also coming up to meet was Patrick Moore, and Patrick Moore is one of the only people to be on Bulls Hit more than once, except for the Naked People. Naked People. We've used the same Naked People over and over. There's one guy. There's one guy who's rather buff, and very attractive, and hung and everything, like he should be for having a being naked on Bulls Hit. He's been on the show like 8 times.
Almost as many as you.
Yeah, he's been on the show a lot. There's like one guy.
I've been on the show 6 times, but it's always in a big head costume.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we have.
I was the bull. I was the gorilla.
You were the walrus.
I was the walrus. Yeah.
Goo goo gachoo. But
there's a bad part. It's me. There's someone you can't see their face, but you know they're sweating a lot. That's me.
Yeah. But Patrick Moore has been on twice, talking on the environmental show and then one other show. And Patrick Moore just wrote this incredible editorial about nuclear power. You know, and he also is, for those of you who don't know, Patrick Moore was one of the founders of Greenpeace. And then went off to be kind of a different kind of environmentalist, believing that Greenpeace had other motives.
It had been hijacked for political motives.
And we're going to do a whole show with him at some point. So if you have any questions for Patrick Moore, if you have any anti-nuclear power rants you want to do, send them in right now to penradio.com, penradio@gmail.com, or you can go directly to penradio.com. And there's a little place you just send a Gmail in right away. It's Penn with 2 N's. And if you had any questions for Patrick Moore, you just want to talk about why we should not have nuclear power, why that's a bad idea, or why Greenpeace is a great organization, send in the Gmails and we'll have a discussion that way. I want to go through a little bit of the I won't do the death penalty stuff now. I cover the important stuff. Any letters about Patrick Moore?
Right.
Also, the AFAN walk. AFANLV.org, which is Sunday, and you should all come by. And it really ends up being a lot of fun because we hang out. And if you're cool enough, we'll all go to Peppermill afterwards. Come around and see if we get along well enough. We'll go to Peppermill. It'll be on me. Providing, since I always match all the donations, unless there's too many donations, in which case you might have to pay for yourself at Peppermill. But
this is your chance. You want to take Penn down? Pledge $3 million. He has to match it. I'm telling you now.
Yeah, it would be good news all around.
Yeah.
AFAN gets plenty of money. Penn Jillette out of business.
Have to sell the house.
I have to sell the house, yeah. But Happy Jack will be there. Michael Goudeau will be there.
Yes.
Moxie Crime Fighter Jillette will be there. Not Pilot Inspector, not Audio Science, but Moxie Crime Fighter, the number one goofy name, will be there. And my wife, which is great. We'll all hang out and talk about honky-tonk, padonkadonk, and maybe we'll send Moxie over to debate the protesters. But it'll be a good time. Please, please stop by. That'll be a blast. I got a letter I wanted to read. This is a really great Gmail. This is from Greg. Doesn't say where he is. Quick question, Penn. You guys seem to have strong feelings towards Danny Gans and his lack of talent. And impersonators in general. Yet you seem to have only good things to say about the Shintas. From what I can tell, I haven't seen either one, they are the same type of show, musical impersonators. Why are the Shintas good and Danny Gans sucks? Be honest. Is it because the Shintas are at the Rio? Yes. Okay, we have some other.
That was quick.
Well, it's an easy question. It's an easy answer.
Like yes and no's.
The Shintas are leaving the Rio.
Oh no!
And they're moving over to the Sahara or something. On their decline. Soon they'll be playing Goudeau's Casino. They will leave the Rio, I guess, fairly soon. Once they do, I'll have a little discussion about them on the air. Until then, I'm a company player.
Didn't they send you spaghetti sauce?
Yeah. They sent me Shintas.
They had their own spaghetti sauce, didn't they? This is amazing.
This is, okay. Okay, we're going to start on the Shintas a little early.
We don't have to. I'm just talking about the spaghetti sauce.
The Shintas are
from. Was it good?
The Shintas are from Buffalo, New York, you know? Yeah. And a lot of people say the Shintas, and you say the Sintas, and they say, no, 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 it's pronounced Shintas. Well, how were they? Well, they were city. That's a lot of what, that's a lot of the discussions that go on. But the Shintas are from Buffalo, New York, direct from the Holiday Inn there. And they came out here and started playing. Now, they always been very nice to me. And they're, you know, we've done a few benefit shows with them, and they seem very, very pleasant. But I don't like impersonator shows. If you do George Burns in your act, I probably don't like your act, right? But they're very, very nice. And they did this big party, this opening for like their second or third year or their theater or something, but some press thing. And they gave out Mama Shinta's spaghetti sauce.
That's very generous.
Mama Shinta's spaghetti sauce. And on the label, it said, Mama Shinta is from Sicily, and she made spaghetti sauce, and this is her own special spaghetti sauce.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Very big deal, you know?
That's,
and they're giving it to the press.
Very kind. Very generous.
Giving it to everybody. So we have Mama Shinta. It might have been not been Mama Shinta. It might have been her first name or something. Spaghetti sauce, right? Spaghetti sauce. That's what they gave out to everybody. So Teller, my partner, who's also a genius, an absolute genius, Teller takes the spaghetti sauce, right? And he gets this idea, which I would have never thought of in a million years. We're over here working on a bit. We were writing something. You were here, weren't you?
Yeah, we were writing something.
Yeah. I don't know what we were writing on. Something. Probably one of the Bulls hit shows. And Teller gets the idea to take the Shinta spaghetti sauce. Now, I certainly wasn't going to eat it, but we had the Shinta spaghetti sauce displayed in my kitchen, because why wouldn't you? Right there with the Pez dispenser with Penn and Teller's pictures
it's
on
it. It's a very generous gift.
Sure.
It's you're showing sauce. Off. You're I just love, name dropping.
I love spaghetti. Sure. Sure.
You have Mama Shinta's spaghetti sauce.
Sure. But Teller gets the idea while we're making tea, because, you know, we're all big tea drinkers. He gets the idea to steam off the label. Now, the investigative journalists of Vegas, you know, Norm, that one-eyed bastard, and all the other guys.
Norm the Cyclops.
Yeah. They would not be this investigative. But, I mean, Teller is like the Woodward and Bernstein together in one of Vegas. And he says, why don't we steam off the label? And I said, why? You know? Because I'm buying this whole thing, hook, line, and sinker. I'm buying this Mama Shinta spaghetti sauce. Teller fires up the kettle. We're all there. And he holds it over the steam. And the Shinta's, the Mama Shinta's label that says our recipe from Sicily and so on, peels off. And underneath it, what was it, ragu?
Yeah, it was like ragu. It was a regular
ragu-ish brand. Like, what's that?
Generic ragu.
Yeah, generic ragu. It's like, you know, it's like Vaughn's brand spaghetti sauce. So these people, these Shintas, these
they're impersonators.
City, these city Shintas, and yeah, okay, sure. There's they had taken generic spaghetti sauce and put a label of their mother. It's their mother they're talking
so
about.
Disrespectful.
They put the label around there and sell it to the press of Las Vegas. And nobody, as I know, no one except Teller. Because, see, Teller, you know, Bobby Kennedy said some people look at what is and say why. I look at what isn't and say why not. Teller looks at everything and says, who's lying? What is the jive
it's
on this?
A special gift.
Yeah, it's a horrible. So the Shintas are starting their decline from the Rio down before they'll be on Fremont Street singing for spare change. And this decline has started. And I'm just on the way. They're nice people. I like them all. Chrissy has a nice big rack. They're all wonderful people. But when they're down, I kick them. That's what Penn Jillette does on Free FM, 866-313-FREE, 3733. Mama Shinta, my aching ass. Did I just say how long we got on the air? we had so much excitement. We get a lot of phone calls in. A lot of people want to trash talk Garrett. Reasons he shouldn't be. But I'm going to do. No, let's take a call or two.
Why don't we talk to Jack on line 8? I think Jack's still there.
Hey, Jack, you there, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Never better, boss. How you doing?
Great, thanks. He's retarded. Well, he's, you know, He wears one of those helmets. As long as he's got his helmet on, though, I don't think he'll...
Do you know Garrett?
Oh, yeah. Known him for years. He's got face herpes, too.
Are you in San Diego?
Pussy. Pardon me?
Are you in San Diego?
No, I'm in Las Vegas.
How do you know Garrett?
I'm just kidding. I've never met the guy. But...
Dude, I was hoping you'd keep going, man.
that's all I got, man. I'm out of material. But listen,
you had helmet and herpes? That's all you had?
That's all I got.
Okay.
Hey, I consider this show like the atheist hour of power.
Oh, thanks so much.
You know? Let me ask you, though, you know, as a Jew, if I'm an atheist and a Jew, am I still a Jew? Because technically, if your mom's Jewish, you're a Jew, right?
Well, I've explained this before. My friend Rob Pike, one of the smartest men in the world, wears a Masonic ring. And you can only wear a Masonic ring if you are a Mason. He is not a Mason, so it's okay to wear the Masonic ring. Because the rule of only Masons can wear it is a Mason rule. If you're not a Mason, you don't follow Mason rules. The rule that you are a Jew, if your mother is a Jew, is a Jewish rule. So if you're outside, if you're not part of the Jewish faith, the cultural thing just fades away. So if you were born of a Jewish mother, you can still be an atheist. You don't have to be religiously a Jew. You don't have to be culturally a Jew. You can be whatever you want. This is the United States of America, so wear a yarmulke and wear a Mason ring and just keep everybody guessing.
Beautiful. Hey, by the way, does your friend with the ring, does he know the secret handshake?
I think he does. I think he does. But I know Goudeau is a Mason.
That's right.
So he knows the secret handshake.
Really?
But he's a Mason. He's a Mason for impure reasons.
I've gone rogue.
Yeah.
Can I mention Danny Gans? I know you talked about Danny Gans earlier, and I've seen the show.
Uh-huh.
And I think it sucked. pretty bad. I mean, listen, you know, you read all this thing about, you know, the guy's the entertainer of the year and all this, you know,
yeah,
every
that,
year. And I don't know
that
where
cost?
That comes from, who voted on that.
Yeah.
But so every year I see this, I'm thinking, wow, this has got to be a pretty good show. So we go to this show about a year ago, and it blew. I mean, it was lame.
and he's not talking Curtis, that jazz cat swinging kind of blew.
Yeah, it just sucked. And a friend of mine, Curtis, I think summed it up with these impersonator shows. He says, well, why would you go pay to see a guy impersonate a lot of people that you would not go see in person if they were?
Well, you know, there is that. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot for calling.
That's a great call.
You know, the thing is, what he called with, his prepared material,
right,
was horrible. And then when he got comfortable, he was just talking. He was okay. Is there another call you want
to
take?
You know, I want to say that I think you should hang on to the Jew thing because you can get into all their functions. Uh-huh. There's a lot of food and stuff.
Yeah.
So you should just go, yeah, my mom's Jew. Can I have lunch?
Yeah, yeah.
That works for me. We'll go to line 10. Let's talk to Boomer from New Jersey.
Hey, Boomer. What's up, man?
Ben, how are you? Love the show.
Thanks so much, boss.
I actually didn't hear Garrett's Gmail, so I'm not going to disparage him, but I just wanted to give you my qualifications.
Okay, man.
Well, I'm an atheist.
Uh-huh.
I have a philosophy degree from Fordham University.
And the first year of that degree was learning to say it. Okay.
And I play in a couple different bands, but one of the bands I play in is called Pulse DK. They're specialized in Beatles covers.
Really?
So I know.
Are you
going to
be in Vegas?
Sorry.
Are you going to be in Vegas on Tuesday?
I could be there, buddy.
You
and
could.
I also have a wife. Being an atheist, I have a wife who is fascinated with astrology and other mystical matters, and I've grown very adept at debating these people.
I don't know. Man. We're pretty stuck with Garrett.
I also have a law degree, and I'm actually sitting outside. I'm supposed to be in a real estate closing at 2 o'clock. I've been sitting out here hoping you'd let me on.
Go to your real estate closing, Boomer. Man. Go to your real estate closing.
Keep your job,
I'd rather
please.
Come to Vegas, though.
Do your job. Do your job. You're not flying to Vegas just for this. It would be irresponsible. All you're getting paid is donuts.
I'd love to debunk these people.
Okay, well, we'll hit you another time, man. Go into your real estate closing.
All right, Pat, thanks. Love it, Jeff.
I'm giving advice like dad. It's like, no, just do your job. I mean, this is a stupid thing we're doing, you know? This is really stupid. No one should give up anything to do this. And there's that woman who sent us her website with the really hot pictures,
yeah,
right? But we're not going to pick her because Happy Jack is scared of women. Yeah. Well, maybe she'll come by.
She's a theatrical agent of some sort.
Maybe she'll come by the AIDS walk, and I'll make up my own mind. I'm going to do some news here, okay?
Sure.
National Intelligence Director John Negroponte said that Osama bin Laden is operating from a narrower and narrower corner of space in the Pakistan-Afghanistanian border area. By this time next year, he added, he hopes to add a third narrower. Great progress has been made since 2001, he added, because we really are on this case 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And in that sense, I think we're certainly safer than we were before 9/11. So the key to national security is overtime. As long as everybody's on golden time in his department, we're doing fine. Now, there's this case. This case is really a bothersome case. In a case involving a student who wore a T-shirt saying homosexuality is shameful, a three-judge panel on the U.S. Court of Appeals has ruled that public schools can bar clothing with slogans that are, quote, hurtful, end quote. A word that, oddly enough, appears nowhere in the goddamn Constitution. Judge Stephen Reinhardt wrote the majority decision. For his dissent, Judge Alex Kaczynski just wore a T-shirt reading, I'm with stupid. There are people who are against homosexuality. There are people who think that it is an insult to God and it is morally wrong. Those people I disagree with strongly. I could not disagree with more strongly. But they live in this country. The government should knock it in the way. If you want to wear a T-shirt that says homosexuality is shameful, if you want to wear that T-shirt and it's a public school that tax money is going to, you need to be able to wear that T-shirt. Yes, it will hurt people's feelings. I'm sorry. But to some people, wearing a T-shirt that said glad to be gay or dressing up in drag may make people uncomfortable. We must not have our society stop things that make people uncomfortable. That is just way, way
There's
stupid.
A whole society of people who think you should not have children because there are too many people on the earth.
Right.
So their kids aren't even represented at school. What kind of shirts can they wear? It's just not right.
Exactly. In an address to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez used graphic language. I read this. He used graphic language that I don't think we could use on this radio show. The FCC would stop us. He used graphic language to discuss what he called an epidemic of online child pornography. After describing in detail the kind of pictures and videos he had viewed on the internet, he was arrested. How come he's allowed to talk about it? He's allowed. And they're quoting him in these papers. You know that there are people pleasuring themselves reading his description. It becomes pornography. It is nested Russian dolls. It isn't really. But I've always wanted to use that analogy. Thanks.
If only it applied.
President Bush apologized to Chinese President Hu for Oh, you know the names of the ball players, don't you? The Chinese president is who?
Yeah. Who?
Who? I think he played first base.
I write a check to the Chinese president, I send it to who?
That's correct. I mean, he deserves it, every penny. Sometimes his wife picks it up. President Bush,
<wife? laughs>
if you send... No, what happens is President Hugh, who sends a check to you, and then you become president, right?
Ooh.
President Hu, that's right, third base. President Bush apologized to Chinese President Hu for Chinese President
from
Whoville for the protester who shouted, "President Hu, your days are numbered," adding that the protest was a little silly since numbering days is the only way we could tell them apart. Everybody's days are numbered. Of course they're numbered. And that's kind of the news. The other piece of news that I just loved is the court throws out the lawsuit claiming sexual harassment. Vulgar talk in the Friends writer's room offended the assistant. Oh, man. If they had won this case, every assistant in Hollywood would be owning the networks, which is probably better anyway. We got a lot more to talk about. I want to talk more about Friends. Patrick's a big Friends fan, and I was on Friends, so we can talk about that. We'll be back right after this with the Big Penn Jillette Show, 866-313-FREE. A helmet and herpes. That's what he had. It's that little space there. That's nice. That's Mike Jones playing the piano. And Mike Jones, if you go to penradio.com. You know, Dustin has made penradio.com pretty cool.
I mean, he's doing a good
like
job.
Every link that we mention, he puts up. So we had to tell him to take down a couple. we had links that really we shouldn't have had up there. there's a lot of links we talk about.
That's why you should go every day.
Yeah. Go every day because before we catch Dustin, he's also got artwork up. There's also you can also get right to Jones Jazz. You want to pick up some more jazz, but Mike Jones. Didn't someone call about Mike Jones?
Yeah.
We get a lot of callers. Here's the only call about Mike Jones. Let's talk about Jonesy.
Line 5. This is Evan.
Hey, Evan. What's up, man?
Hey, Penn. Mike. Hi. Love the show.
Well, thanks so much, man.
Oh,
what's up?
Penn, I wanted to say I really enjoyed your Bulls hit show about the death penalty. Really helped me make up my mind about it.
Thanks. But, I got some letters on the other side of that I want to read, but go on.
About Mike Jones, it's weird. Like, what's up with that guy? Because I saw him on TV the other night, right? He's an amazing piano player, but why does he talk like he has a hamster in his mouth?
Wow. Well, for a minute, I thought he was going to go to the other Mike Jones, but he got the right one.
He got the right Mike Jones. Where'd you see him on TV?
On Yo Mama on MTV.
No, that's not Mike Jones.
What?
No.
Wow, they both talk like they have a hamster in their mouth. I did not realize that.
There's two Mike Joneses. The Mike Jones that you saw was an African-American. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not
the Mike
guy.
Jones that plays piano with us is a white guy about 40 years old from Rochester, New York, with devil horns tattooed on his head. He has big piercings all over. He has a devil horns tattooed on his head. His hands are all tattooed. But he's a white guy from Rochester, about 40, 41 years old. And he plays monster bebop jazz. The other Mike Jones is an African-American rapper. So this has been a huge confusion. And you wouldn't think that with a name like Mike Jones, there'd be more than one of them. And listen, that's exactly my point. When someone is calling 20 years from now about Moxie Crime Fighter Gillette, they will be talking about my daughter and no one else. That's my point. So if you go to jonesjazz.com or you go to penradio.com and click on the Jonesy stuff, you'll see a picture of R. Jonesy. And it was amazing because he gets sometimes in his Amazon reviews, he gets people who think they're buying the other Mike Jones records, and they'll write stuff like, why don't you bring the ish? Why aren't you bringing the crunk anymore, Jones? You know, it's that kind of stuff. Two different people. One plays bebop jazz, one does rap, and I'm not familiar with the rapper stuff at all. So thanks a lot for calling and clearing that up. Boy, that is, you know, Jonesy gets driven crazy because on his site he has all these people saying, why did you sell out and start playing piano? You know, it's just a nutty thing. We were talking about this this court case of vulgar talk, and what happened was this this woman, I guess her name is Amani Lyle, 32 years old, alleged 6 years ago that sexual remarks and conversation added up to harassment against women. Lyle said she was offended by repeated references to the actors' sex lives and their writers' own sexual exploits as they penned body humor for six New York City pals in the NBC sitcom. That's Friends. Now, I was in Friends, and for the last, I did one episode, and I only was working with Matt LeBlanc. I worked with nobody else, and I was an encyclopedia salesman. And Jerry, the dentist from the Bob Newhart show,
yeah,
he was directing. it was really fun. Matt LeBlanc seemed to have the proper, all the other cast of Friends seemed really scared, like that they were really successful, they were on the bubble, and they were just going to pop and crash and burn. But Matt LeBlanc just seemed like, I am so happy to be here. Things are going great. I'm having a great time. He really seemed to take a moment and enjoy the success, whereas the others were so scared about keeping the success, they seemed to enjoy it less, from my opinion. And I was just a, you know, a guy going in there to do a day of work.
Day player.
What do I know? Yeah, day player. That's what I was. And I went in there and I said to one of the crew guys, you know, we just did the Drew Carey show, and the Drew Carey show has like this huge spread. Their craft services, which is like the buffet for people, his craft services had like ice cream, spaghetti sauce, three different kinds of popcorn. There was like snacks for like days. And the Friends craft services was like a few peanuts and some celery. And I said, man, your craft services compared to Drew Carey sucks. And the crew guy said, well, look at their women and look at our women. which I guess there's some competition in craft. But if you're gonna do television show for a day, you know, you get paid pretty good money. You know, very good money. But also, do consider the craft services. The Drew Carey Show was, I don't know who has the best craft services now, but Drew Carey's show was the best craft services I've ever seen.
Ours was pretty good.
It was like all the food. You want, what do you mean?
At Bulls.
Hit. Well, see, if you think that's pretty good, I have no idea what that says. If you think that's pretty good, you should see the Drew Carey one. Because ours is about the level of Friends.
Okay.
But the Drew Carey one, I mean, they were like, you know the coolers they have in ice cream shops with the big tubs of ice cream? They had one of those coolers there, you know? And like hot, what are they called? Hot pots things, just heated crock pot things full of like nacho cheese dip and chili. And they had hot dogs and the little rotator things and popcorn. And man, it was the greatest place in the world. And then after eating at that, you break for lunch. It's just great.
Wonder if they need a writer.
I want to go back to this Friends thing. Lyle was fired after 4 months on the job because she could not transcribe meetings fast enough or capture the flavor of the meetings. So this woman is hired to take notes in a writer's meeting, and she believes they're making sexual comments because of her. Just ridiculous. And that's the problem with sexual harassment stuff.
I wonder why she couldn't get the flavor of the show.
Exactly. You know, I'm so against the idea of the United States government trying to turn women into cops. You know, you're supposed to be very careful what you say all the time in the workplace, everything else. I think we have a really good solution to sexual harassment, and that is quit. And if your boss is saying you have to have sex with them, go over your boss's head. If I ever find out the crasher who works for us is using jobs for me that I pay the paycheck to get laid, he is so fired. Okay, he already did that once. But if he does it again, he is so fired.
He's been warned now.
This is your final warning. The next time you go to the principal's office. You know, the death penalty show, we had a lot of comments on. What I love about the death penalty show is some of the stuff we do on Bulls Hit is a matter of science. I mean, if you want to tell me that reflexology works, that's not opinion. If you want to tell me you can talk to the dead, that's not opinion. How we deal with violent criminals in our society is opinion. You know, we cannot take the absolute we're right on this. I feel so strongly that the state should not kill people. I feel that it is wrong to kill and that the state should be held to a higher standard than individuals. I really strongly believe that. But there are some very strong other arguments, and I want to write this. A person makes this argument. His name is Bill R. He doesn't say where he's from. If you think that we should not have the death penalty because there's a chance of wrongly killing a single person, then you should be equally against the entire jury system. Don't you think it's just as bad to take away someone's freedom? No. One word answer. Don't think it's just as bad. It is horrible. It is terrible. But you can turn it around. You can say, well, we've taken these 10 years away from you, but you're going to have the next 10 free. I think there's a difference. In the years following Governor George Ryan repealing the death penalty, the murder rate in Chicago peaked to an all-time high of 600 per year. This forced Mayor Daley to place police monitoring cameras on high-crime street corners, similar to London. This has had a positive effect, reducing the murder rate significantly. Is this loss of privacy worth the reduction in murder? Maybe. I don't know. When we did our research for the show, said that the murder rates had not gone up when the death penalty was stopped, that it wasn't a deterrent. So I don't know where he's getting that information. Our information was different, but I'm not willing to say he's wrong. This is a person named Petri. P-E-T-R-I, how would you pronounce that?
Petri.
So it's okay to shoot to death one of these bad people when they try to harm you or your family. It's okay that cops shoot down one of these people if they resist arrest and so on. Cops are not supposed to shoot people for resisting arrest. We did do a show about the gun control and said that we were against gun control. And his point is, but if you have a gun in your home and someone breaks in, you shoot them, isn't that instant capital punishment? Another really good argument. I think that the most important thing, first line of business, When someone is causing damage to innocent people, the first line of business is to stop them. If they're stealing, stop them from stealing. If they're killing, stop them from killing. Sometimes the only way to do that is with violence. Once the person is in custody and you have time to think, I think you can make other choices. And that is the whole point of our death penalty show. The whole point of that show was that the state did have time to think, that it wasn't an emergency, and maybe we should take the high road. But the people that that feel the horror of these crimes, like I said, class
is dead, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they should ever be against the death penalty. I mean, during the Oklahoma City bombings, or the Timothy McVeigh, there was somebody who whose daughter, I think, was killed in that, and who came out against the death penalty for Timothy McVeigh. That kind of compassion and clarity of thought is beyond me. I don't think I'd be able to do it. I think that if someone in my family were killed, you'd be sitting saying, let me play this broadcast back where you talked about the death penalty and trying to get me around. I don't think that I have that big a heart or that much intellect to be able to make that decision. But I think as a group, we should try to be better than we are as individuals. I know that sounds crazy because the government does such stupid stuff in our name. But I really believe that the government as a whole should be more peacenik than its individuals. I guess that's a crazy point of view. I guess that's crazy. And as far as death penalty on animals, like the bear that attacked the kid, they're trying to find the right bear and kill him. Provenza has a great routine on that, which he says, the bear mounts his defense. I'm a bear!
You're free to go, bear. Thank you.
in the circus, you know, when an elephant would kill somebody, you know, which occasionally happens because elephants can just kill you very fast.
They're big, yeah.
Very fast. When elephants would kill somebody, the tradition of the circus was to kill the oldest elephant. You know, whichever elephant did the crime did not matter. Since the people of the town could not tell the elephants apart, they just killed the oldest elephant to give the people there, oh, the elephant has been killed, but to not throw away a lot of money. What are you holding in your hand?
The bear story.
Oh, the bear story. They were looking through the stomach contents to find the right bear to kill, right?
Yeah.
But
they thought he might have rabies also.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a black bear. Black bears don't usually attack humans. They're scared of humans generally. So this was an unusual, very unusual case. They thought perhaps he had just woken up.
He was really hungry.
He was grumpy.
Really hungry. But they said the kid wasn't bugging him or anything.
No.
This is why my advice is never go anywhere that money doesn't matter. Never. For any reason. If someone invites you to go camping, you say to them, will I be able to spend money right where we are every second? And if they say no, do not go. I was in the Everglades with $500 cash in my pocket, and I was eaten to death by mosquitoes. They were covering me.
They can't
be
bought.
And no way you can buy those little bastards. I would rather walk through Times Square with a $100 bill naked, walk through Times Square naked with a $100 bill sticking out my ass than go one day in the Everglades. Never go anywhere where money doesn't matter. That's what you learn from this kid being bitten by a black bear. And I want to thank everybody for all the letters on the death penalty. It's a really important issue, and it's not an issue that's solved by fact. It's not an issue we can be just brutal about. And I'm done, and we'll be back
Monday.
We'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back Monday, as long as the government doesn't figure out what I'm really thinking and put the death penalty on my ass. AIDS Walk! See you
Sunday.
All the AIDS Walk.
Sunday.
AIDS Walk Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. AFANLB.org.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.